Well, hello there. I've been off for a while. Maybe you have too. It is so good to be back together. And there have been some changes since I've been away. Have you seen our new church signs outside? I just saw them this morning. If you haven't seen them, check them out on your way out. And they look great. And I know that some people in this church, Ruth Peckover, have been working for a long time on these signs. And I just want to say, well done all. So one of my guilty pleasures is that I like to scan the internet for cheeky and sometimes inadvertently inappropriate church sign messages. Perhaps you can search for the inappropriate ones on your own, but do you want to hear some of my favorite cheeky ones? Okay, you're going now. Here's one. Adam and Eve were the first people to not read the apple terms and conditions. Here's another. Jesus had two dads, and he turned out just fine. Here's one for the cottagers. God did not create anything without a purpose, but mosquitoes come pretty close. Okay, one more. This is Genesis 1:3, the millennial version. And God said, "Let there be light," and it was lit. So there you go. But in my highly non-scientific research, there is one very common message that you see over and over again on church signs. Can you guess what that might be? All are welcome. All are welcome. It fits perfectly with Jesus' own message of revolutionary hospitality. He ate with the rich and the poor. He healed those in the shining towers and those who had fallen through every crack. He taught the merchants, the migrants, the downtrodden, and the despised. All are welcome. Now, we Christians may have put this message on our signs, but if we are honest with ourselves, we have struggled to put all our welcome into action. When looking at church history and even church present, we have seen that Christianity has often put an asterisk on Jesus' message of revolutionary hospitality. All are welcome, asterisk, unless you are divorced or disabled, unless you are gay. All are welcome, except if you can't pay your own way. All are welcome unless you put a differing understanding of God on display. For too much of our history, all are welcome has meant all are welcome to come and look and think and be exactly like us. We're the ones that have got it all figured out. We're the ones that have the answers. So you should want to come and be like us. We have that royal jelly, and if you fit the mold and jump through all the hoops, you can join the hive. From within this holier-than-thou mindset, the message, all are welcome, comes laced with an undercurrent of arrogance. Arrogance and self-glorification, and according to Jesus, that's just about the worst thing possible for our spiritual health. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This warning against arrogance and self-glorification is central to the ministry of Jesus. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last, he says. This is central to the message and ministry of Jesus, but he certainly did not come up with it. The call to humility puts Jesus squarely within the Jewish tradition in which he was formed. In our reading this morning from the prophet Jeremiah, God admonishes the people for forgetting their liberation and their delivery into the promised land. God says, "I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things, but when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination." The people have become arrogant and self-absorbed. They've chased the idols of money and status and power. They have turned their backs on the fountain of living water that is God's saving grace. In Jeremiah's words, they have gone after worthless things. worthless things, empty calories that do not satisfy, false profit that bears no bounty. In a desert landscape such as Israel, where fresh water was the most important thing, the people's spiritual health has become like a cracked cistern that can hold no water, a soul like a broken vessel. This is what arrogance does. The bedrock of the Jewish tradition that formed Jesus and his ministry therefore places humility at its center. Humility before the self-giving grace of God. That is the first step on the spiritual journey. Humility is the first step because at its essence, to have humility is to be open. Open to God and open to each other. To have humility is to have the understanding that we are all a work in progress. That none of us is mission accomplished, that none of us have all the answers. To have humility is to be teachable. To be teachable and to affirm that deep wisdom comes from places we don't automatically expect. In our Luke reading this morning, Jesus opens up this ethos of humility using his favorite metaphor, the shared meal. First, he gives some practical advice about seating at wedding banquets, and if you've ever planned a wedding banquet, you know what a political rat's nest that can be. And once again, leaning on the wisdom of his tradition, Jesus expands on a teaching in Proverbs 25, which says, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." It's good advice. But the part I want to focus on is the second part of Jesus' message. When you give a banquet, he says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Here it is again. Jesus' message of revolutionary hospitality. It is exactly those people that the mechanized and commercialized world labels as worthless that you should be hanging out with. In the company of the crippled, the lame, and the blind, at the banquet with the broken, the poor, the outcast, and the passed by, that is where you should most fully encounter the mystery of the resurrection. The great humanitarian and theologian Jean Vanier puts it this way. Jesus is the starving, the parched, the prisoner, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the dying. Jesus is the oppressed, the poor. To live with Jesus is to live with the poor. To live with the poor is to live with Jesus. Many of you, I think, know that I did a student placement here at Metropolitan 3 years ago. But perhaps you will be surprised to know that that actually wasn't the first time I spent significant time here. Back in the winter of 2011-2012, I was here every week as an out-of-the-cold volunteer. I started out serving meals, but as the weeks progressed, more and more, I found myself simply hanging out at the tables and having conversations with the participants. I met lawyers who were also addicts and engineers who had lost everything. I had met people who had been on the streets since they were children and people with PhDs. I met people who had encountered abuse, people with no support structure, and people craving deep connection over a shared meal. Over those months, I developed relationships, friendships. I heard stories and shared my own. I was a very new Christian at that point. I had only just been baptized the summer before, but it was here, downstairs at the Met Center, where the gospel first flew off the page for me in a real way. The gospel came alive in the joys and sufferings of people that our society so often passes by. And it was here that I was also confronted in a very real way with my own arrogance. That dark place within myself, that unspoken feeling that just because I had a job and could pay taxes and had free time to volunteer, that I was somehow more capable, more worthy than those who I was feeding. But as I heard the stories, as I built relationships, I could see how with a few different choices, with less family support, with less access to resources, I could be the one needing to come in from the cold. I thought that I was coming here to feed people, to be a good Christian, whatever that means. But I quickly realized the arrogance of this mindset. Humility truly is the first step on the spiritual path. The former moderator of our church, the Right Reverend Lois Wilson, once told me that the only way we can truly do social justice is through the building of reciprocal relationships. Reciprocal, not one-sided relationships, not just a download of resources from one group to another. Reciprocal relationships, when we get to know each other, when we hear each other's stories. Yes, social justice means changing systems, but the first domino to fall must be a change of mindset. It requires approaching the banquet of life together with humility, letting each other into our hearts, and understanding that our salvation is bound up together. Jesus' message of revolutionary hospitality can only be lived out when we are all empowered to shine by our own light and are all empowered to contribute in our own unique ways to the life of the community. Reciprocal relationships. This is something we can do here. And given where we are in the city, here at the crossroads of everything, of rich, of poor, of old and new, I think this is something we must do here. Perhaps you were here earlier this summer where we read the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, that very same Sunday, we had a homeless person set up camp out by the manse. Here, at the crossroads of everything, the gospel of Jesus Christ comes alive in a very real way. I consider it to be a remarkable privilege to be in ministry with you in this place, and not just because of our history, and not just because of our building, but we are called to participate in the gospel of Jesus Christ every day in real time. These scripture stories that we read are not just dead texts locked up in dusty tomes. These stories leap off the page right here in front of us. Participating in the revolutionary hospitality of Jesus Christ means grappling every day with these issues such as mission and safety. We have to grapple with how we spend our money and talents, how we honor our traditions, and how we speak the gospel in new ways to feed spiritually hungry people in this neighborhood and beyond. In his book on queer theology, Patrick Cheng says that Christians are called to a state of permanent porousness. Permanent porousness, meaning that our primary posture should be openness, open to God and open to each other. And when we welcome someone into the community, whether here upstairs or downstairs, we welcome the whole person, the unique range of gifts and needs that each of us have. With humility, we understand that this community is not mission accomplished. We are a beautiful and a messy work in progress, and we will change based on the collective gifts and needs of who's here. Have you seen our new church signs? When they were being designed, we discussed putting the message, "All are welcome," on them. We certainly want people to know that they are welcome here. We want to foster a culture of hospitality and welcome here. But in the end, we decided on another message. Our signs say that we are an affirming ministry of the United Church of Canada. Without a doubt, this is a bold proclamation that this is a place where we work for the full inclusion of people of all gender identities and sexual orientations. And there is also a broader message of the radical inclusivity of God's love. To be affirming means to model this love, to declare without equivocation that we are all beautiful, we are all holy, and regardless of our differing circumstances and abilities, we are all loved by the God that knows us fully and will never let us go. Our signs say that we are an affirming ministry of the United Church of Canada. We affirm the inherent worth of each individual, and we are grounded in a tradition of the wider church. Even though our names are on the signs, we are not the church of Karen or Jason or Pat or Malcolm or Roy. We are a united church. And as such, we exist within a tradition, and we have a collective wisdom to draw upon. We can be a leader church, but we can also be a church that learns, a church with humility that is open to new ideas and is open to building reciprocal relationships in the wider community. We are called to remember God's saving grace, and we must feed others just as we ourselves are being fed. If you look at the insert in your bulletin, you will see a range of activities and programs that you can bring your needs and gifts to in the coming months. Arts, worship, community, service, these are the pillars of our life here together. Come here to be fed. Come here to feed others. In this place, we are called to affirm God's love and live out the gospel of Jesus Christ in real time, every day. All are worthy, and all are welcome. May it be so. Amen.